Millions of people in the United States today have natural immunity from coronavirus because they've already had the virus. Yet everybody is encouraged, in fact, implored to take the vaccine. Why is that? Let's take a look. This is Beyond the Cover, and this is Gary Benoit, your host. And today we have with us Kathy Spigarelli, who has just written an article for the New American Magazine for the October 18 issue entitled War Against Natural Immunity. Now, Kathy is an expert in the area of PPE, which for the layman stands for Personal Protective Equipment. And she is a manager for health and safety issues at a large corporate company in the chemical field. So, Kathy, welcome to Beyond the Cover.
Hi, Gary. Thanks for having me.
Well, we're very glad to have you. War Against Natural Immunity, the title of your article. Is there really a war against natural immunity?
Well, if there's not, there should be. So this article explores basically why policymakers, the media, and businesses have basically just disregarded natural immunity as impactful to public health during this pandemic. And so the article takes a look at, why that is. And as you stated, when we're talking about natural immunity, what I'm referring to is those people who have had COVID and recovered from it and now have a robust immune defense against the virus.
Does it make any sense, Kathy, to take somebody who has natural immunity, which you say in your article is at least as good, if not better, than the artificial immunity that you get from a vaccine, and force that person to get a vaccine? Do you think there's an ulterior purpose?
I do. I think what it comes down to for me is that, especially with this particular virus and this particular vaccine, it's an individual health assessment. You have to measure your own risk in this regard. And the uniqueness of this virus is that we know it targets certain categories of people, right? People 65 and older, those with pre-existing conditions, maybe the obese. And so it's pretty clear what groups of people would mostly benefit from the vaccine. And so the people who are maybe in the low risk category might look at this risk assessment a little bit differently. And so I think, because of that uniqueness, and then because of the uniqueness of this vaccine, what we've seen with the vaccine is that, first of all, it's not 100% effective, right? So even the vaccinated are getting disease. And second of all, we're seeing breakthroughs with these variants and stuff. So it's a little bit, it makes very little sense to me that you would then impose on, say, these low risk categories, especially on the people who have had COVID and recovered from it well. You know, some people literally just lost taste and smell, or taste or smell, and that was the extent of their disease. So why, especially given the fact that it's not really clear what the vaccine will do to people who already have a natural immunity, there's some risk there as well. So I think individuals then in the low risk category might choose for themselves, knowing their own health and what category they fall in, they may choose then not to get the vaccine. So as far as an ulterior motive, I could only speculate what that is, but I see the outcome of it. It appears to me that there is this coercion to get everyone vaccinated, even for the categories of people that it doesn't necessarily make sense for, The underlying reasons can only be speculated. But I do agree that there is some form of, there is an objective that maybe is not clear to all of us.
Now, you're an engineer, and of course, you look at facts, you follow the evidence. If an engineer were to build a bridge, for example, that person had to be pretty precise because you don't want the bridge to fall down.
Right.
But, you know, one thing I think we could say for sure, and I'd like to see if you'd like to add to this, is if every single person got the vaccine, and the way the government's pushing, they obviously want every single person to take the vaccine, what would happen to the control group? In other words, would you be able to compare the vaccinated to the unvaccinated as to the results if there were no unvaccinated?
Well, you would definitely lose your control group, but I don't think that is going to happen. I don't see a world where 100% compliance is going to occur. But I do think that there has been a manipulation of the data, not of the data itself, but a manipulation of its interpretation. I've seen it in my research, and it's concerning. You can see evidence of like cherry picked data where you might have a year's worth and the study will pick a month. And when I look at the raw data, it doesn't represent like the entire year. So basically telling the story that you want to be told, and it's a disturbing trend. I've seen many research articles that were from pre-COVID that have statements on them that it's retracted or this doesn't apply to COVID, things like that. And it does make you kind of scratch your head, like, what is going on here?
Right. So, obviously, there's more than medicine involved, because if this were approached strictly from the point of view of healthcare or from the point of view of medicine, it makes no sense on earth to force somebody who has natural immunity to get the vaccine.
No, I was talking with Shay Sortwell, who is a representative of Wisconsin, and mm-hmm. he made a comment to me, and I actually wrote it down because I was like, he's right. He said, this isn't about public health. It's about compliance. And I would take that one step further and say it is also about coercion, because I don't see the evidence that everyone needs to be vaccinated to make this, you know, pandemic end. And in fact, there's a lot of argument out there that even if everyone was vaccinated, it's not going to end, because you've got animal vectors and the vaccine is not 100% effective. Like, I think about it like this. If I put 10 people in a room that were vaccinated and one of them had COVID, the other 9 can still get it. The vaccine is not fully protected. So therefore, you think about the vaccine passport, how does that make any sense? How does that make any sense? Because if you're truly looking at this from a public health risk reduction, none of this makes sense. And so that's where you go to what you asked that original question is there something else that is the objective? Is it not public health that is the objective? I think we all assume it is. But then you see evidence that, well, that doesn't make sense if your goal is to protect public health. You know, it's showing that natural immunity is as robust, if not better, than the vaccine. Then why would you try to coerce and force through vaccine passports and policies and things? Why would you force that group of people to get vaccinated?
Well, regarding COVID policies, Kathy, another example, and so far we've been talking about the vaccines, but another example would be mask mandates. And of course, you deal with masks all the time in your professional work, because you're in charge of health and safety at the chemical factory where you work. So you have studied masks in great detail in an industrial environment. Does it make any sense for people to wear masks, as they go about their daily lives to protect themselves from COVID?
So there's a lot I could say about that. And so I will refer people back to the articles that I've written for The New American on masking. But I think the biggest thing I can say about this is the masks that most people wear, the public, the general public, are not designed for the intended purpose, and that is to prevent disease transmission. Now, if we're talking about other forms of masks that have proper design, they have some effect. But to just put on a bandana or some of the things, the gaiters that people have been doing, there is some pretty good evidence that it is not blocking out those particles. I have a friend who sells to me industrial hygiene type of equipment. And during the beginning of the pandemic, he had done some studies where he was looking at the fabric that different masks could be made of. And we won't get into a whole lot of detail, but for example, an N95 mask, it has to be above, 100, whatever the units are, just whatever. As long as it's above 100, it makes spec, right? So most N95s are at 1,000. When he tested some of the things people were making their little cloth masks out of, he was getting something like 0.1.
So it's ridiculous.
So it's just not able to, you know, those types of materials are not able to filter out this type of particle. And they're not designed. Like, I think people don't understand that masks actually have a technology to them when they're made right. They have different layers and they're quite complex. It's not as simple as putting a t-shirt across your face.
Yeah, but in essence, that's what most people do, although some people refer to it as a diaper. Because obviously you're exhaling as well as inhaling. And so contaminants, you're exhaling are going to build up in the mask as well. But let me ask you this question, Kathy, because you've devoted your entire professional career to keeping people healthy, keeping them safe in an industrial environment. When you go outside, when you go to a restaurant or whatever, or you go shopping, do you wear a mask?
I wear a mask where I'm forced to.
Okay.
Period.
But you don't wear masks for safety reasons. And obviously, no. You're safety conscious yourself. So when you see people wearing a cloth mask, and obviously that's their freedom of choice, but would you say they've been sold a bill of goods and they're really not accomplishing anything?
So I think the hazard, there's a problem with PPE in general. First of all, if you're using the wrong PPE for a particular task or something you're trying to prevent, that's a dangerous thing, because having this false sense of security gets people in trouble from a safety perspective. I remember coming into a new company, and they might not have had the strongest program, whatever. And I found a gentleman who was over this big open container of product, and he had a mask on. And I was like, oh, you've been trained in that? What are you wearing that for? And it was completely the wrong kind of mask. It was not protecting him at all. And so I think when you're wearing PPE that is not appropriate for what you're doing, you might go into situations. So for example, with the virus, maybe I'm going to come up really close to you, Gary, because we both have masks on, so we're protected, right? Wink, wink. So that, I think, is the very strong downside of what we're seeing, is not wearing the right thing to protect you, and then having that false sense of security that it is protecting you, and going into situations that increase your risk of issue, you know, issues. So,
right. So the bottom line is that the typical person is not wearing a specialized mask. He's wearing a cloth mask, something analogous to a t-shirt, and he's really not accomplishing anything.
A typical person would not want to wear an N95 mask all day long. They're mm-hmm. difficult to breathe through, and you actually, per OSHA, have to do some form of testing to show that you can. Because these types of masks that are technical in nature, it makes it a little bit harder for you to breathe, as you would suspect. So if you're not in good health, to wear a mask like that is you might not be qualified to do that. So
okay, so there again, here's another example of the government instituting a bad policy supposedly to protect us, but it could have the opposite effect. So do you see a pattern with our various policies that the fight coronavirus?
It's been a really frustrating period of time for somebody with my background to live through, because I relied heavily on a lot of the agencies now that I am concerned have become politicized and are not honoring data, I guess, or looking at data that represents what they want the message to be. So, it's a very difficult pattern to watch, especially because now, I rely on their information. And so I've got that question mark in my head now. Is this based on data or something else? I did have a conversation a few months ago with some representatives from OSHA, and I asked them directly why natural immunity was being ignored. And their response to me was, they're following CDC guidelines.
In other words, they know that this does not make any sense, but they're doing their jobs.
Gary, I didn't try to read between the lines, but you can.
Well, again, you're the engineer, but Kathy, we so much appreciate the fact that you've come on this program and shared your scientific background, your knowledge, and of course, we really appreciate the articles you've been doing for the New American Magazine, including, obviously, your most recent one, War Against Natural Immunity, that appears in the October 18 issue of the New American Magazine. And for those who like to see the article, to get a copy of that issue of the magazine, please see the description and the information's there. Thank you so much, Kathy.